The early part of the 20th century was a good time for Hollywood. In the 1920s, the studios were riding high with established stars and their own theater chains. The last thing they wanted was to upset the system with an expensive new gimmick like sound. One studio head famously asked, "Who wants to hear actors talk?" But Warner Brothers took a gamble. Relatively new to movie making, their biggest star at the time was the canine action hero Rin Tin Tin. Warner wired theaters for sound and in 1926 started to make talking films. Producer Ben Shapiro has this story of the rise and fall of the Vitaphone short films.
In 1927, The Jazz Singer opened in New York. Virtually overnight, silent film disappeared and Hollywood became a talking film factory.
Wait a minute, give me a chance, folks. You ain't heard nothing yet. You ain't heard a thing.
That's the myth, anyway. The reality is that a year before The Jazz Singer, Al Jolson made his talking film debut in blackface in this Vitaphone short called A Plantation Act.
I heard a robin this morning. I'm feeling happy today. I'm gonna put my cares in a whistle, blow them all away.
The Vitaphone shorts were filmed on a stage set, often complete with proscenium and curtains. The performers looked straight into the camera and did their usual act for 8 or 10 minutes without stopping.
How do you do, everybody? How do you do?
Sometimes they'd even introduce themselves at the beginning and bow at the end.
I'm Billy Jones.
I'm Ernie Hare.
We've entertained you through the air. Ain't we a funny-looking pair? How do you do?
The shorts, which first shared a bill with full-length silent films, brought big-city entertainment to small towns across America.
They would ship a top act like Burns and Allen or Al Jolson or whoever to these small theaters throughout the country in a can.
Ron Hutchinson is co-director of the Vitaphone Project, a group dedicated to restoring these early sound films.
And while I knew people knew it wasn't the live performer, you need to remember the power on the marquee of some little theater in the Midwest or South or wherever, also playing Vitaphone acts, Al Jolson, Jack Benny, that could never in a million years afford their salary even for 1 week.
Hello, Talkie. What's on your mind now?
Doc, my old friend Mutie wants you to put him through the works.
Audiences were introduced to the idea of combining sound and pictures with this cartoon, in which Talkie explains the new technology to his friend, Mutie.
Now I'll explain. Inside this booth is a motion picture camera which is taking pictures through this window. We use a soundproof booth. When it's closed, it keeps the camera noise away from the microphone. Whew, it's hot in this booth. Let's get out on the set again.
Vitaphone used oversized 16-inch discs synced along with the reels of film. Audiences and critics were thrilled by their first exposure to amplified sound as a public spectacle.
The natural reproduction of voices and the timing of the sound to the movements of the lips and singers was almost uncanny. The future of this new contrivance is boundless, for inhabitants of small and remote places will have the opportunity of listening to and seeing grand opera as it is in New York, and the genius of singers and musicians who have passed will still live. Mordaunt Hall, The New York Times.
The Vitaphone films did include high culture, like this film of the opera diva Anna Case. But most of the shorts were popular entertainment, everything from acrobats to jazz bands. Yeah. Jazz Chase, a comic who eats everything from his lit cigar to his ukulele. An all-girl singing orchestra playing 13 banjos. And Baby Rosemarie. In the 1960s, Rosemarie became known for her role as Sally Rogers on The Dick Van Dyke Show. In 1929, when she made this Vitaphone short, she was billed as Baby Rosemarie, the child wonder.
Baby Rosemarie looks like Louise Brooks and sings like Sophie Tucker, but she's 4 years old.
Princeton University professor Emily Thompson researches the transition to sound films.
You really have to see her and hear her to believe her.
Quiet, please!
I think think the best of these films are often characterized by a wonderful combination of absurdity and irreverence. So you get that wisecracking, the plays on words, the poking fun at authority and high culture. We are pre-Wall Street crash. We're not in the Depression yet. We're not looking for solace in the movies or comfort. This is a more of a smartass age.
20 people fell off a 10-story roof. Not one got hurt. How was that? They were all killed.
Sean Lee were a deadpan comedy act. They would tell one painfully bad joke after the other, do a take at each other occasionally. It was so modern, it was like they didn't care what the audience's reaction was.
The guy who wrote this song was deaf. He couldn't hear a note. This is the verse. This is the verse. But he knew all the rules. He didn't. That is why he wrote the first verse first.
Warner's made hundreds of Vitaphone shorts in just a few years, and they ran in thousands of theaters across the country, with the bill changing two or three times a week.
Hi-ho, everybody. This is Rudy Valley announcing and directing. This is our first Vitaphone picture.
But the success of the films carried the seeds of their demise. Studios quickly realized audiences liked the talking, joking, and singing, and began to include sound bits in their silent feature films. After a few years, the Vitaphone canned acts became passé. Over the years, many of the films were lost and forgotten. Most were separated from the soundtrack discs. Then in 1985, Robert Gitt of the UCLA Film and Television Archives met someone who worked at the Warner Brothers studio who said he remembered seeing some big old phonograph records stashed behind a screen in a mixing room.
And we went inside this room behind the screen. It was dusty, and apparently nobody had been in there in quite a long time. And there were cabinets with 2,500 Vitaphone discs in aging paper sleeves. I'm sure somebody at the sound department years earlier wanted to save these, and that's why they were hidden back there.
Other Vitaphone discs have been found in everywhere from attics in the Midwest to record collectors who didn't know they were rare movie soundtracks. The UCLA Film and Television Archives and Warner Brothers have restored about 75 of the Vitaphone shorts so far, and Warner's plans to release some of the films on DVD.
High up in my aeroplane, through the fog and the haze, high up in my aeroplane, I've been flying for days.
For the performers, the Vitaphone shorts were a sideline, quickly made for some easy cash. After appearing in them, many soldiered on to the dying days of vaudeville. The shorts are all that remain of their acts, a lost world of American show business. For NPR News, this has been Shapiro.
White wings carry me home. I want to fly just like a swallow, back where those happy days will follow. Fly straight, fly fast, hardly can wait till I'm back at last. White wings carry me home.
That's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Debbie Elliott.